We're going to continue on in our series in the life of Moses. Let me give a little help here with this. You know, if life of Moses, I think Moses actually, if you look how many chapters and how many verses in the Bible, scans probably he has more written about him than probably any other character except for maybe Jesus Christ, because all the references to Jesus Christ. And so we're not going to be able to go in an in-depth study like sometimes we do in certain books of the Bible. We're just looking at different areas of his life. And so when we go through passages of scriptures like the one we're today, we're scanning scriptures. We're looking at one certain aspect. So there's a lot more things you can pull out of here. There's a lot of messages you can preach on. The life of Moses could have like I said, it could be years that you preached on the life of Moses if you went verse by verse and did exactly that way. But here in Sunday school, our hope is and our goal is there's probably about 14 or 15 lessons that has different aspects in Moses' life that we're going to look at. And today we're going to look at how God spoke to Moses' heart through the burning bush. So the title of this morning's lesson is Moses and the Burning Bush. And when you talk about hearing from God, this confuses some people. Some people are like, you mean you hear from God audibly? You mean when you're sleeping at night, God speaks to you that way? And what we're talking about here, God uses the burning bush here with Moses, but we're talking about how God speaks to our heart, how God speaks and leads and directs. Most of us, probably none of us, have ever had a burning bush experience where God spoke out of a bush to us. At least I've never heard anybody here in this room that said that. And God can speak to us anywhere. And it's important that we learn about how God does speak to us and how we listen and how we hopefully are obedient. God can speak to us anywhere. We do not need to be in church or in a special religious event or environment. Now, let me clarify that line with one thing. I don't know how many of people I've met before. I don't need to go to church. God's everywhere. I can have church out in the front porch. Well, and I direct them and says, look, if God makes an importance of his church house, and I show him a couple of verses why I think the church is important and the responsibility of church and how, and I says, and if a person is not interested in church, there's something wrong there. There's something wrong in that relationship. If God makes a big deal out of something and someone else minimizes it, then there's something wrong on that person. And I don't, not mean, not ugly about it. I says, yes, I worship, I can hear from God all the time, anywhere. And God speaks to my heart and leads and directs us. But when someone uses that excuse, so I don't need to go to church, I have church by myself, which I understand sometimes there might be a chance where you can't get to a church. Sometimes when we're out of town, and this very, very rarely happens, maybe once or twice in the last however many years, 10 or 15 years, there's not a good church in the area, and we'll have church with my family, but we'll do it the exact same way. I'll give a message, a lesson. We'll have singing time. The only thing we don't do there that we do at church is we don't take an offering. We tried the first couple of times. Andrew and Christian weren't given anything, so we just said, forget it. But God makes a big deal out of his church. God has said he's building his church. The gates of hell won't prevail against it. God tells us not to forsake the assembly of believers of others. So when someone tells us that, it's usually someone who just, there's something else wrong in their life, and they're using that excuse. I don't want to go to church because, and gives lots of different reasons. Church is very important. That I just want to make sure when we say God can speak to us anywhere, that we just don't have to go to church. It doesn't have to be a church environment. God speaks to us all the time. We do not need perfect circumstances or quiet surroundings to hear his voice. Now, don't get me wrong. Quiet surroundings makes it easier. We do not need the perfect ideal circumstances. Okay, now everybody else is in bed. And, you know, those are times when people look and they're seeking after God. Those are all important. But that's not the only time it's limited. God can speak through our hearts in special ways all the time. And this time, like we learned last week about, there was something God wanted to teach Moses. God took him out of Egypt, put him 40 years in the wilderness, took a man who was very, very prideful and thought he was going to deliver the Israelites right then, full of emotion. But he comes out of after the wilderness. What does the Bible say? He was a meek man, meeker than any man on the earth. And he becomes a man that is humbled, as we saw last week. So God doesn't always, he uses different ways. And we're going to talk about that a little bit, about God speaking to Moses. We simply need to be attentive to him no matter where we are. God can lead us and direct us. I know many times on visitation or when I'm walking past someone, God will lead and direct. Hey, I want you to tell that person about the Lord, or I want you to give a gospel track. And hopefully I'm obedient to that. Sometimes I am, sometimes I'm not, I'm ashamed to say, because sometimes the leading of the Lord are things that are going to make you feel uneasy. But God does speak to our hearts, and it's something that's important that we should be aware of. Sometimes God's voice will be dramatic. Sometimes it'll be forceful. Sometimes, sometimes when I heard the preaching of the Word of God, man, it's just like overwhelming. And it's like, I need to get that right, or I need to go to the altar, or I need to make that decision. And there are other times when it's a still small voice. And yet, no matter what method God uses when speaking to us, His voice will have no effect. Listen, His voice will have no effect if we are not listening and ultimately responding. You know, he says, well, I haven't heard from God. I don't know what you're talking about. This is all craziness about being heard and led from God. And you know what? They're going to use the lesson here and today in hoping that it can help us, you know, God speak to our hearts. When you're confronted with a sin many times and you know you're not supposed to do that, someone's, you know, there's something inside of you that says, hey, you don't want to do that. Stay away. Don't say that. That's the Lord speaking to your heart. That's the Lord convicting your heart. You don't need to do those things. Let's go ahead and look here in Exodus chapter number 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 11, and then we're going to get right into this lesson. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame and fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. I think Moses probably saw the bushes burning all the time. But the difference between this bush was it was not consumed. And he turns aside and says, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Now, I think it's kind of interesting here. You're going to see this later on in their points. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. And now, when Moses drew near to the bush, that's when God spoke. He didn't speak any earlier. It is when Moses, who only to draw nigh unto it, he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am of God, of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. So when he realized where he was and who he was talking to, he hides his face. He is reverent and respectful to God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of that land unto a land, good land, excuse me, and a large, unto a land flowing and milk. Flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. And I think Moses is probably thinking, man, this is great. The Israelites are finally getting free. And in verse number 10, he says, now come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, and thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So now he says, look, I want you to do it. See his response here. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto the Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Ask the Lord's blessing on the message, and we'll dive right into it. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thankful for today. Thankful for the people here. Lord, I pray that you help us. Lord, we need to hear from you. I know we often talk about hearing and listening to God and being in a place where we can hear from God. Thankful that, Lord, you can speak to our hearts at any time. Lord, thankful where the Bible says that if we don't lean into our own understandings, Lord, that you'll direct our paths, and Lord, that you'll lead us and that you'll guide us. And Lord, I pray that as we look at this lesson today, that we're reminded that you want to speak to our hearts, that you want to lead us, and you want to guide us, so that many times there's many obstacles in our ways. Lord, help us clear out those things so we can hear from you. Sometimes it is a quiet place we need. Sometimes it is getting things right that we need to do. Sometimes it is silencing the many, many things buying for our attention. But Lord, help us to realize the importance that is needed to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. So often the case, God spoke to his servant Moses. Moses gave his attention. I used a different PowerPoint, so I hope you guys can read this a little bit. God gave him his attention. It was kind of interesting, as I mentioned earlier, that when Moses drew nigh unto the bush, he gave attention to the bush. That's when God was able to talk to him. And he was doing his duty. In Genesis 24, 27, it quotes that famous servant of Abraham when he said, while I being in the way, the Lord led me. You know, the servant was told by Abraham, go find a wife for my son. And while he was in the way, the Lord was able to lead him. Moses was doing the things that God had prepared for him at this point in time. He was being a shepherd. He was being faithful. And while he was being a shepherd and being faithful in the wilderness for those 40 years, you know what? God was able to speak to his heart. And I think the truth is, you say, well, Pastor, I don't hear from God all the time. I don't see God leading. I don't see God directing. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Are you faithfully doing what he's called you to do? And so as we faithfully follow God's leading and assignments, he clearly speaks and continues to direct. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So if we really truly want to hear from God, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to learn to be faithful, doing what God wants us to do, always surrendered unto the Lord, and let him speak to our hearts, let him lead and guide. You see, remember what it said about Jesus, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. You know, when it was time, he knew it was his time. It was his appointed hour. What did Jesus do? He steadfastly set his face to Jerusalem. That didn't make lots of people popular. That did not make him popular, but he was doing what he was supposed to do. I know probably some of you have heard this man named William Borden. William Borden was a man who chose to honor the Lord even when other people did not understand. He grew up in a wealthy family and was heir to the Borden Dairy Estate. For his high school graduation gift, his parents were able to give him a trip around Asia and Europe. Rather than enjoy the whole trip for himself, William Borden felt burdened for all the people he saw around the world, knowing that so many of them were hurting and seeking to know God. The Lord gave him a passion to serve these people overseas. When he expressed his desire to be a missionary to others, he did not get the positive feedback he thought he may. One friend stated that William Borden was throwing his life away as a missionary. William's response was, no reserves. He was more concerned with serving the Lord than pleasing others. And see, the importance that God speaks to our hearts in different ways. Not always are people going to understand, but we need to be faithful with what God's given us. He speaks like he spoke to that man about going to a foreign country and living there. I don't know about you. I know he's spoken to my heart about being a pastor and a preacher, and he's spoken to some of your hearts about many different things. And William's response was this, no reserves. In our Christian life, we got to remember there's lots of different ways God captures our attention, lots of different ways that God calls us to do different things. You think Moses in the burning bush. You think about Balaam. God used a donkey to talk to him. Think about Samuel in the stillness of the night. Isaiah got a vision in the temple. Jonah had a big storm and a big fish. The hungry multitude had the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You know, all those different people were called to different things. You know, Moses, out of the how many millions of people that were he was leading through the desert, why'd God call him? You know, that's God's planning, God's purpose. And, you know, Balaam had a responsibility, and God used that. Isaiah had a certain calling. We all had different callings, and God uses different ways to speak to us. And God uses a mighty tempest and Christ walking on the sea to talk to the disciples. God uses the miracle of resurrection with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. You know, God used a light from heaven. And I can tell you that many different things in my life that God has spoken to my heart about through different circumstances. When my younger brother came on the scene, you know, when he was born, we thought everything was normal. And then after a year, he wasn't developing. After a year and a half, they took him to specialists, and he has a mental disorder. He's mentally handicapped. He has a mind of probably somewhere around a 1-year-old, 6-month to 1-year-old, and motor skills of about a 2-year-old to 3-year-old. And, you know, at the beginning, I couldn't understand that. But looking back over my life, I see different things that God has used Junior in my life to speak to my heart about. I know he's done that to other members of my family in preparing us what he has called us to do, making us more considerate to people that I've probably in the past would never been considerate about, making us understand that God creates us and that we are all the way that God has made us, no matter what color we are, no matter what abilities and talents we have, that we are all God's creation. And you know, things in his life, God used that, used many different things in his life to speak to my heart that maybe he didn't use those specific things to you, but he used that to me. And I think there's different ways if we go back in our life and we look at, you know what, God used this person, God used this event, God spoke to our heart, just directly to our heart when we heard preaching. God does speak to our hearts. Here's some different things I want you to think about Moses' experience. First was the bush was burning. It's an interesting note, the angel of the Lord did not speak to Moses until he first drew nigh. And this is important. If we really truly want to hear from God, we're going to have to be nigh to him. God's not going to be shouting his voice just to try to grab your attention. He does use the burning bush here. He does use different things. But, you know, God is, we need to draw nigh to him. I think that God was ready, preparing Moses for this 40 years, as we talked about last week. And now God, he believes that Moses is ready. And now he's speaking to his heart about something he's been preparing for. The Bible says, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Where Jesus' promises is that he will come, you know, come to him, and he will give us rest. This is the idea that there's a continual promise there. And Jesus says, all those that come unto me, I'll give them rest. You know, there's conditional there. You need to come. You need to draw nigh to God. If you want to hear from God, you need to draw nigh to him. I know some people in this room are a little bit harder of hearing. And some people are hard of speaking too. And sometimes certain people you got to stop. You got to get really close. You got to listen to. I would not hear what some people had said if I did not take the time to draw nigh and listen. Because if not, it would all be muddled. You say, well, who am I talking? You know, because a lot of you don't always hear me. So I understand that. So that's, you know, but you have to do it on purpose. You have to get close sometimes. You have to draw nigh. You have to, same thing with God. If you want to hear from God, you want God speaking to your heart, you need to draw nigh to him. Next thing I want you to think about is the bush was not consumed. It was not consumed. Now, we know that God created the whole physical world, and he has full control of it. And we see it in another awesome demonstration of this story, how the bush did not get burned. God desires to demonstrate his glory in our lives. And the cool thing is, we don't have to go to a priest. We don't have to go to a burning bush. You know, we can go to God directly now. And I think that's an amazing thing. That's a good thing. That's a positive thing. You know, sometimes when we talk about these Bible characters, and we're like, yeah, they had this and they had that. God was able to do this and that. We had the Holy Spirit of God living in us. You know, that veil has been torn apart. We can have a personal relationship. The Bible says, seeing them that we have a high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but in all points is tempted as we are, yet without sin. And then he says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You know, we can actually go to God. And he not only tells us to go to God, he says, when you're in a time of need, come boldly. You have a right there. Just because of what Jesus Christ, nothing that we've done, we don't do it pridefully. We draw nigh to God. Remember, God resisteth the proud, giveth grace to the humble. But we don't have to have a burning bush experience. We can go to God all the time. And that's a huge blessing. Difference than us in the Old Testament. The Old Testament, they with the forgiveness of the sins and the sacrifice, and I'm sure in their relationships when they talked to God and they did different things like that. I get that, but they had that priest that was only allowed to go into the Holy of Holies. Think about it. Moses not only gave attention, he gave his reverence. And in verse number 5 it says, and he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. He humbles himself. He saw when God got his attention, his reverence. And this will work in us and through us also, when we reverence God. It's not just something that we go to God nonchalantly and just think of him some big man upstairs. You know, hey, you know, no. We're going to God. We are speaking to God, and we need to have a reverence and respect to God. He was on holy ground. I know we didn't turn to the book of Acts yet, and we might not because of time, but both times says that he was standing on holy ground. And in the Old Covenant, there were special places that were marked as holy, like the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies was a sacred room in the inner parts of the tabernacle. God's design for this place was very special. When the priest was entering into the room, he was entering in the very presence of God. No ordinary person could enter in. If any person other than the high priest tried to enter, they would die. But even the high priest could only do it once a year on the Day of Atonement. And because we're under this new covenant, we no longer have to wait that once a year. We can go into the presence of God all the time. We don't have to wait for a special sign. We don't have to wait for a special miracle. We have a God that we can approach. And not only that we can approach, he tells us to approach, and he desires our fellowship with him. You think about the Apostle Paul. He was, if there was anybody who had a religious man and had his religious testimony, he himself said, you know, that he could go and he did all these different things, but he said he's a man. And according to this, he could not get to God on his own. It was only through Jesus Christ and what he did. All this is true. If we're going to have a personal relationship with Christ, we need to replace the religion that the Apostle Paul had. We need to replace the religion that the world has with a relationship. And realize that God wants us to develop a relationship. And God waits to show himself to Moses and to his people when their time is ready. And if we will look at this as a holy work and a holy ground, you see there's a humble response. But you also see that the Bible talks about, it's a holy ground, but he also had a humble response. And you say, Pastor, what difference does that make? Once again, the Bible speaks so much about humility. Once Moses realized that God was speaking to him, he hides his face. And the Bible speaks about the type of thing that God honors, the type of thing that God will look at, the type of thing God will be a part of. The sacrifices of God are a broken heart, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. There are some things that despise. There's a chapter in the book of Proverbs that someday I like to preach a message out of. It talks about the different things that God despises. Even when someone who is a Christian or a believer, even when he does the sacrifices, if he does it wickedly, he despises those things. But the things that people do righteously and do it the right way, God loves those things. And that's what, you know, David's saying here, look, God will not despise if you come with a broken spirit and a broken and contrary heart. Look what it says. For thus saith the Lord, and lofty one that inhabited eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high place and in holy place with him also that is of contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. See, Moses, when he got to this desert, this wilderness, before the 40 years, he was full of himself. He was somebody who worked off emotions. He thought that he was going to deliver. It was spoken in his heart. And God needed to work on him. And look at this. He's going to dwell with who? Those that have a contrite and humble spirit. What is he going to try to do? He's going to try to revive the spirit of the humble. He's going to try to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And when we come to humility, there's so much that the Bible talks about it. You know, surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. But he giveth grace whereof he saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves therefore in the sight of God, of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And the Bible over and over speaks about how if we really truly want to hear from God, we gotta get to a place where we reverence God and we see God for who he is and understand who God is and understand who we are. See, Moses, he got to the spot. He understood, okay, this is God. I need to humble. He hid his face. And not only did he hide his face, he listened to what God had to say. And then he humbly responds. You know, if we really truly want to make a difference in our lives, humbleness is important. Look what it says. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You know, it's verses on humility here. And let God do the work. Let God do the speaking to your heart. If we truly want to hear from God, we're going to have to reverence him. We're going to have to respect him. We're going to have to humble ourselves. You know, if we truly want to hear from God, like we learned in our first point, you know, that he is all-powerful and he's able to do all things, we have to draw nigh to him too. Third thing I want you to see here, and there's different, if you go back, there's a little Bible study about different ways people respond to God. You'll see many times it's done with reverence and respect. Adam and Eve, they ran when from the presence of God. But many people, when they were brought into the presence of God, Job, when he finally got it, he said he abhorred himself and he repented in dust and ashes. And, you know, many times people fall on their face. But like we saw about Joshua when he was before the captain of the guard, and that he just fell down. Moses gave his obedience. Now, hearing the words of God is quite different from obeying them. We talked about this on Wednesday night. I like doing the story of Moses and Joshua kind of side by side. There's a lot of parallels, a lot of things that we can learn talking about the same people. But we talked about Joshua when he asked the Lord, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" God says, remove here on holy ground. And so he obeyed him. He listened to him. And see, there's a huge difference between hearing from God and from obeying God. If we want to hear from God, we have to draw nigh. It gets like Moses drew nigh into the bush. Then we're going to have to learn how to reverence and see God as all-powerful, but also as holy. And then as we do that, we humble ourselves in the presence of the Almighty God, and we open our ears to what God has to say to us. We've already read these verses and talked about the Lord comes to him, and the Lord has a job for him. And it says in verse number 11, "And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel?" You know, it's something there that is just amazing, is the fact that God has a certain plan for him, but Moses makes up an excuse. Say, Pastor, he humbled himself. Pastor, the point is that you said he's obeying. Well, see, here's the thing is most of us make up excuses. You know, when the first sin happened, what happened? You know, Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the snake. You know, it's a blame game. But when God speaks to our heart, there's going to be challenges. Are we going to obey? What's first going to come up in our heart? There are going to be excuses. It occurs that so many believers, when God gives them direction, many of us give excuses, just like Moses. Isn't it amazing how often we offer reasons for why we cannot do what God's called us to do? And here's three of them. We didn't have time to read through the whole passage, but you look at 3:1, I already read that. Moses says, "Who am I?" You look at chapter 4, verse number 1, and Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee." So in verse number 1, he says, look, first thing is, look, who am I? God, how come you called me? It's an excuse. It's the same excuse that many of us use. It's like, why in the world did you ask me to do this, Lord? How in the world can I do this? How in the world am I able to do these things? I know when God called me to preach, that was one of the first things I said. Lord, I can't do that. And then the next thing, he says, they will not believe me. There's another excuse. It says, chapter 4, verse number 1, Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee." Look what it says in verse number 2. "And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod." So God begins to encourage him. In verse number 5, "that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee." And, you know, it's amazing. What God wants us to do is be obedient. See, Moses was asking a fair question. This is what his flesh was saying. Lord, I'm not worthy of this. But also he's saying, Lord, what about if this happens? And what does God do? God encourages him and builds his faith. And it shows him, even gives him signs to be able to do on the behalf to say they talk to him. But God's not worried about whether or not the people are going to believe you. You know, Moses asked this question. But you know what? God already knew what the people were going to respond. When God asks you to do something and calls you to do something, he already knows that that person may say no. He already knows that person may get mad. He already knows that person may accept or reject. He already knows everything. What he wants you to do is to be faithful. And when it comes to hearing from God, it begins with us drawing nigh and begins us realizing God is all powerful and that God is all holy and that we humble ourselves and then we listen for God's leadership and direction and we follow with obedience. And I like this part of the story. I'm glad they included this part of the story because of the fact, you know what? If Moses had just said yes and gone on his way, or God didn't record these parts, we'd be like, well, Moses got a lot of guts. Moses got a lot of courage. No. God shows this because it speaks to our heart, because when God asks us to do something and asks us to take a stand and asks us to be faithful and asks us to humble ourselves and asks us to do something special, you know what? Sometimes we'll come up with excuses. Next one I want you to see is I am slow of speech. You look in verse number 10. It says, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of slow tongue. And I love that excuse too, because that's another excuse I used, because I used to tell the Lord, Lord, I can't talk right. No one's going to listen to me. How in the world? And many of you know I had a speech problem as a young person. You'll see lots of times I will stutter over certain words, certain sounds I can't even make all the way correctly. And Lord, I can't do this. One of my favorite verses is verse number 11. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now, I think that's just a special verse, because God says, look, I made him that way. I've made you that way. I've given you this calling. Now, all I want you to do is be obedient. All I want you to do is faithful. But Moses makes excuses, but I'm thankful it doesn't stop there. And it doesn't have to stop when the excuses come to our mind. It doesn't have to stop when fear comes. All we have to do is have the courage to step out in faith and letting God ask us to do. Because I don't think we'll ever be removed from fear. But having courage to not let that fear stop you from what you're supposed to do is what faith is. Saying, okay, I'm anxious about this, but you know what? I don't need to be anxious, because God's called me to do it. So I'm rejecting that fear. I'm rejecting those reservations. And now I'm moving forward. And that's what happens in Moses' life. Not only did he make excuses, but he made changes. Look in verse number 18. Verse number 18, I know some of you had to step out because of ministries, but we'll finish up here. And Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, let me go, I pray thee, and return to my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go. Go in peace. So I want you to understand here that he made changes. You know, many times people in the Bible made excuses why they couldn't do what God called them to do. But now, you see, Moses doesn't stop there. He changes. He changes his country. And this was a big step. He had stability. He had a life there. He had a wife. He had kids. He had family that was there. He could have probably been happy. Now God's saying, I want you to go back to that place where, as we learned a couple lessons ago, there's somebody there that was looking to kill you. Now he's died off, but he's taking his family, and he's taking his wife and his kids to a place that, oh, look, there's going to be a spot in the palace waiting for them. No, he is chosen to identify with the slaves. So it's a hard thing. But not only is it there's a change in Moses' country, but there's also a change in Moses' calling. And he goes from working with those sheep to working with all those millions. And God enables us to do certain things. He really does. But one of those things we have to be able to do is to hear from God and to listen from God. Do you really know what your calling is? Are you following the calling? Are you going in the direction that God wants you to go? Do you hear from the Lord on a regular basis? Because it begins when we say, okay, Lord, none of this stuff is more important than hearing from you. I'm going to draw nigh to you. And as I draw nigh to you, I'm going to recognize that you're all powerful. You know, the burning bush did not get consumed. That is God. And I know it's God speaking to me. And as I draw closer to you, I cannot do anything but see your holiness and reverence and respect you. And as I humble myself and say, okay, Lord, what is it you want me to do? And then God begins to speak to our hearts. Okay, I want you to do this and that. And you're like, Lord, can I do that? That's hard. That's tough. Lord, people won't understand. Lord, that's going to hurt my family maybe, or that's going to change things. And even though when we make the excuse, we have the faith and courage to just go forward and move forward. I want to encourage you that not to be stubborn. You know, Moses here could have said, Lord, I'm not ready for this. My wife, two kids, they've never even met any of our family. The boys, they've never even been circumcised. We talked about circumcision a couple weeks ago on a Wednesday night. And, you know, you're going to see that being the issue. And you guess, like I said, there's so many great verses in here. I hate to just kind of scan over them. But the thought of the lesson is, are you truly hearing from God today? He wants to lead you. He wants to direct you. He has an interest in every area of your life. He has an interest on how you serve and what you read and how you fellowship and your friends. He has an interest. He wants to speak to your heart. And if you have not been hearing from him, let me encourage you to draw nigh to him. And when you draw nigh to him, don't do it with a chip on your shoulder. Humbly see him for who he is and say, Lord, what is it you want me to do? Remember we learned about Joshua. Joshua said, Lord, I know this is not the exact quote. We looked at, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said, I want you to do this. You know what Joshua did? He did that. Many times we go before people and say, okay, God, what is it you want me to do? And then we go do what we want anyway. We don't take the time to listen and hear what God's leadership and direction is. Lord, what is it you want? And I've said it many times myself. Lord, whatever you want, then I don't give the time or draw nigh enough to know what it is he wants me to do. Let's look for God by drawing nigh to him. Let's listen to God by reverencing and respecting him and humbling ourselves and be willing to be obedient. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Lord, thankful for today. Thank you for this class. Thank you for the story of Moses. Lord, you know how it's spoken to my heart before in the past. And Lord, I know that when I finally got a hold of this idea, Lord, that you want to speak to us. Lord, you want to commune with us. And Lord, you want to lead us and guide us and direct us. How, Lord, we can walk with you. And Lord, and we can talk with you. And Lord, how you can give us what the direction should be. There's a certain spot you want us to be. There's a certain thing you want us to be doing. Lord, help us to draw nigh to you. Help us be listening on purpose for what your heart would be for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.